Lord, open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things from your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. You might have to kind of drag back into your memory with this question, but and it's one that most likely you've asked yourself of someone else. What do you want to be when you grow up? One child said he wanted to be either a car mechanic or a rubbish collector. When asked why, he said, "So I can get dirty." If we were to ask Jesus what he wants us to be, I believe he would say, "I want you to be different. I want you to be a servant." Christians are to be servants of both God and people, but most will approach life with the attitude of "what can I get" rather than "what can I give." As Christians, there is a difference. Serving people must form the basis of all that we do. On one occasion, Jesus taught some bottom line truths about behaviour and growth, and we call this teaching the Sermon on the Mount, and you read it and find it for yourselves in Matthew 5 through to 7. Charles Swindoll, whose book the series is based around, suggests that it could be called "Be Different." Time and again, Jesus instructs us to be different. He says five times in this teaching, "You have heard, but I say to you." And what he taught remains the most complete description of the Christian way of life. And when he began that sermon, he begins with a word portrait of a servant. And we know that as the Beatitudes, or the beautiful attitudes. We're going to look at these over the next two sermons in the series. Now, I'm saying that because next Sunday is 10:30 on 4th, and we'll be looking at prayer again. So this week and on Palm Sunday, we'll come back to it in a fortnight. And we know the Beatitudes well. We just heard John read them wonderfully just before, and I want to read the kernel of it again. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons and daughters of God. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when you are reviled and persecuted, and people say all kinds of evil against you falsely on account of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is in heaven is great. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Now, there are three observations, general observations, I'd like to make about these as we go on. And the first is this: these are eight qualities that identify true servanthood. When all eight are mixed together in a life, it becomes balanced. Now, so often when I hear the word balanced, to me it speaks of compromise and getting wishy-washy. That's not what is meant here. When we take these eight qualities and they become part of our life becomes whole, in that sense, balanced, whole. They're not a multiple choice list from which you can pick and choose and say, "Well, I'm going to be that, but give that one away." It is all to be a whole. Jesus has said very clearly that these qualities lead to a different lifestyle, and that lifestyle pleases him. Secondly, these qualities or attitudes bring personal satisfaction. Each begins, "Blessed are," or as J.B. Phillips in his translation says, "How happy." Happiness. Now, happiness is actually a superficial word. It's kind of one of those ice skating ones. I'm the only one who can take responsibility for my happiness. If someone says, "Well, they're leaving a marriage because their wife can't make them happy anymore," I'd say, "You've got a problem, your wife doesn't." Well, you've just given it one, really. But I mean, you are responsible for your happiness. You can't make that in someone else. It's a surface thing. But there is that sense of my life is content, and in that sense of contentment, I have a sense of fulfillment, and of that itself brings happiness. Does that make sense? See how that works. Happiness is a result of each of these qualities. And thirdly, attached to each quality is a wonderful promise. It should not surprise us that when Jesus had finished the sermon, we read, the crowd were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one having authority and not as their scribes. Never before had the audience heard such truth. Now, to help us to improve our serve, we're going to look very, very briefly at four of these Beatitudes today and the other four in a fortnight's time. So the first one, poor in spirit. Now, at a first glance, this seems to refer to those who have little or no money. Wrong. His words are poor in spirit. William Barclay puts it this way: these words in Hebrew describe the person who, because he has no earthly resources whatever, puts his whole trust in God. You see, we have nothing earthly that we carry into eternity. It's all just while you're here. The investment we make is really lies in throwing ourselves on the mercy of God. Augustus Toplady caught this in his hymn: nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Naked, come to thee for dress, helpless, look to thee for grace. Foul, I to the fountain fly, wash me, Saviour, or I die. Saying to somebody on the ferry as I was heading to Wellington at some very early hour of the morning on Thursday, we got into a conversation, and a number of things came around, and I said, well, for me, I said, that's why I'm just so pleased that I have my future beyond this world secured. I know what's going to happen. And it was a man's man, and he stood there and he sort of had to think about that one for a bit. What we have here is just a passing thing. It will not last forever, sadly. We may like to live for eternity. I sometimes, and I look at this film Forever. Anybody watch the series on TV Forever at the moment? He can't die. When he does, he comes back to life instantly, the same age. Yeah, lucky him. No, actually, he was a burden for him. He really struggles. He would quite like to die after 200 years. I've met centurions who have said to me, you know, I've lived a long time. Kind of need to move on now. Interesting, isn't it? Eternity here isn't eternity. Eternity is when we enter into the secure company of God beyond this world without all the limitations that tie us down. So it is in our total lack of any human resources we throw ourselves upon God. And the special promise of those who follow this through, who are poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What a promise. Acknowledging our spiritual poverty gains us entrance to the kingdom. The person with a servant's heart has a childlike trust, and such a person is promised a place in God's kingdom. Secondly, those who mourn. The Greek word for mourn is a heavy word, a passionate lament for a much loved one. It conveys the sorrow of a broken heart, the ache of the soul, the anguish of mind. Mourning over a wrong in the world, over personal loss, over one's own wrong and sinfulness, as well as mourning over the death of someone close. Interestingly, it includes compassion, a sincere caring for others. Perhaps a way of saying it would be, happy are those who care intensely for the hurts and sorrows and losses of others. At the heart of this is compassion. And the promise for those who mourn, they shall be comforted. The gentle. The third quality in Jesus' portrait of a servant is gentleness. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. We may wrongly think that this is saying, blessed are the weak, for they shall become doormats. In our rough and rugged individualism, gentleness is thought of as a weakness, being soft and spineless, but not so. That's one of the interesting things that I've observed sometimes in the tramping fraternity. You see these, you know, great hunks of guys who, you know, they're getting a bit long in the tooth, and they've walked the bush and climbed the mountains, and as you get to talk to them, you just find that there is just an amazing gentleness about them, just an amazing quality of life that sits around them, and I just cherish that. The Greek term used here speaks of a wild stallion that is tamed and brought under control. It is described as being gentle. The words that soothe strong emotions are referred to as gentle words. Ointment that takes the fever and sting out of a wound is called gentle. Those who are polite, who have tact and are courteous and treat others with dignity and respect, are called gentle people. So then gentleness includes qualities of having strength under control, being calm and peaceful when surrounded by trouble, having a soothing effect on those who may be angry or distressed, and possessing tact and a gracious courtesy that causes others to retain their self-esteem and dignity. These are all images of Jesus himself, aren't they? Listen to these words. He said, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart, and you shall find rest for your souls." And what does the promise associated with this beatitude, "For they shall inherit the earth," mean? It means that they will ultimately win out in life in the end. Instead of losing the gentle gain, instead of being ripped off and taken advantage of, they come out ahead. And lastly, for today, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. A true servant has an unquenchable appetite for what is right, a drive for justice. The servant pursues God. They have a restlessness as an eager longing to walk with God, to please him. There is also a practical side to this beatitude. It's more than going after holiness, but also looking around and being grieved over the corruption and the inequalities and gross lack of integrity and moral compromises that are so common in our society. The servant hungers and thirsts for right on earth, unwilling simply to sigh and shrug off the lack of justice as inevitable. The servants press on for righteousness. Someone call them idealists and dreamers. You know, I've never minded being called an idealist. Sometimes it's been thrown out as being sort of a derogatory term. But if they weren't dreamers and idealists and people who pursued for that was right, I suspect that we would be very poor in our society, because often it's the dreamers and the idealists that actually come up with the inventive ideas that go on to be developed and become norms in our society that we now know. So to be called an idealist or a dreamer is far from a derogatory term. It should be something we grasp and say, hey, that's good, especially when it comes to seeking for righteousness and justice. And what will happen when this passionate appetite is part of one's life? What does Jesus promise? They shall be satisfied. They will be content in their inner selves and satisfied. The servant with an appetite for righteousness will be filled. It is comforting to hear that promise. So to conclude in summary, we're only halfway through the list, but it's a good place to stop and summarize what we have seen so far. In this portrait of a servant, Jesus is describing how to be different, how to be his unique servant. He honors particular life qualities. Those who are genuinely humble before God, who turn to him in absolute dependence, will be assured of a place in his kingdom. Secondly, those who show compassion on behalf of the needy and the hurting will receive comfort in their own lives. Thirdly, those who are gentle, inwardly strong, yet self-controlled, who bring a soothing graciousness into irritating situations, will win. And lastly, those who have a passionate appetite for righteousness, both heavenly and earthly, will receive from God an unusual measure of personal contentment and satisfaction. So the bottom line question is not, what do you want to be when you grow up? But what are you becoming now you've grown? Lord God, you call us to be servants. And we see this amazing picture that you've given us of the kind of life, the intricacies that are to be ours, as we seek your heart, as we seek to serve people around us, as we seek to be strength where there is weakness, to be peace where there's discord, to be healers where there is hurt. And in our own life, as we struggle with those things, that you would pour that measure of grace into us. So Lord, help us to pursue this portrait of a servant, that we would be the bearers of that portrait in our life. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.